Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we are moving from the final major of the year on to the stretch run before the playoffs. It's always a little bit bittersweet to put the final major to bed, as you know, we know we've got quite a while before we start looking forward to whether it's the Millie Maker type contest of the players next March or the actual major that is Augusta next April. But nonetheless, we still have some golf in front of us, some big golf for some players, some stretch run stuff for these one and done contests as well, and you know, some DFS contests as well. So it's not quite all over, but the final major champion was crowned. It was Brian Harman. Skeeter, what are we taking from the Open as we get ready for maybe not so much the 3M, but just the stretch run here?
Well, before I get to that, a couple things. Number one, before there's Augusta, before there's the players, it's Kapalua. And I was actually talking to somebody about Kapalua today, so I was like, okay. Yes, that's always a nice sight in January as we're freezing, and it's so warm and nice there. It looks so good on 4K. But
a guy I played golf with Saturday in my my foursome for an outing that I played in, he actually had some palm trees that were kind of tilted that reminded me of the Waialae palm nice. Tree. Yeah. So not Kapalua, but bro, I was thinking about Waialae on Saturday while I was playing a course in Kentucky, for what it's worth.
Yeah, it was actually my financial advisor, and his manager, the one who probably books all of his appointments and everything like that, planted a palm tree outside of their building. And this is Central Illinois, so
beautiful.
I go, hey, you probably this is probably the only palm tree in this town. And she goes, yep.
So, how long will it be?
I don't know. She has a second one kind of growing right next to it. They're starting to grow, so
sweet.
So, apologies for no podcast last week. We actually recorded it, and then technology failed me, and I could not recover the file. So, hopefully, this one actually gets heard this week, but I don't know why we're asking me for the Open recap. I mean, there was a winner of between you and me last week, and it wasn't me. So, James, floor is yours.
Well, I thank you because you put me on Brian Harman. Whether it was the player type or the kind of the Pete Dye TPC comp, but you put me on him. I had him in 4 out of my 10 lineups. Unfortunately, not one of those was a 6 of 6. Yeah. I even had a 6 of 6 that didn't cash, if you will believe that. But I had a couple, several that did cash. I had a Brian Harman 3 of 6 that didn't cash. 3 of my 4 Brian Harman lineups cashed. One of them, of course, those are 5 of 6, had the vampire Justin Rose as the missed cut in there for my second really good lineup at a major with the vampire being making it a 5 of 6. But I also got on Harm at $125 to 1 on BetMGM. Had him there at 125 to 1. And, well, Skeeter, I can say that now my new best hit, whether it be in just straight cash out dollars or whether it be in the odds, has been made, and it was Brian Harman. So I think, like we said before the podcast, I was saying, you know, I had him in my lineups and I did make the bet on him, and I didn't insure it with top 5, top 10. It was just a win bet, but that's what I've been kind of doing here lately. So I had the same bet on Denny McCarthy. God love me, I had the same bet on Justin Rose again this week. That ticket didn't cash. But so, I mean, I was sort of on him. I'm not saying, though, I really thought he was going to be a major champion. But here we are, and I've got the beautiful win. So 125-1, I'm pumped. Congratulations, Brian Harman. He damn near won the thing on Friday with his great round there. And then we get to Saturday, Sunday, and, well, I'm either playing in a golf outing, so I'm falling on my phone, or I was doing the Fantastics show, football show on Sunday, so I'm falling behind me as it's going on. I told Dan, I told Greg, I said, fellas, if it sounds like I'm not paying attention, it might be because I'm not paying attention.
Well, you had 1,000-plus reasons why.
And luckily I do have them now, or at least they're digitally transferring.
Yes. I had Harman in 2 lineups. They were both 5 of 6s. They were my only lineups to cash. I didn't have any 6 of 6s. I had the right idea for player for one and done and bet. I made very few bets, but instead of Brian Harman, I went Corey Connors. So kind of had, so I was on the right path, just the wrong selection, but that's okay. I mean, it's golf. It's going to happen. I thought I was going to do Cam Smith, but then the more I thought about it, I was like, well, I don't know, you know, if accuracy is going to be somewhat required, that's not his strength. And people are going to be on him, and boy, were they ever. The live golfers of DJ Smith and Brooks. I think Reed got a little bit of ownership as well in one and done. In the end, you know, didn't really pan out. And yes, I would have made, I think, what'd you say, like 40,000
like
more?
Another 40 grand. Yeah. It was right, like an 80 grand, 40 grand difference.
Right. Which maybe will cost me a spot or two in the end. But so game theory wise, I had it right. But watching it, just Hatton's 18 on Friday killed me because that was a quad and that kind of dropped him. And he didn't fully recover. Tommy just didn't do anything after Thursday. And then, you know, what's interesting is the Ryder Cup perspective kind of changed here because Hartman's on the team now, I believe.
Yes, sir. I believe they even said, I got to see the last couple of holes after the program Sunday. I think they said Zach Johnson was welcoming him to the Ryder Cup team after the tournament.
And everything about European golf, or at least with the Ryder Cup, you know, they try to limit the driver as much as possible. That seems to fit a Brian Harman type of the game. I don't know the course in Rome, but it seems like the, you know, the way they set it up and the way they want to play in Europe, I think that'd be a good fit. And even on the European side, Sepp Straka, I think, probably found himself a spot on the Euro team.
I bet he did, too. I think they maybe asked him about that after the tournament, and that's certainly, you know, a goal of his. So I think it is very interesting. And, you know, it's funny because I opened by going, hey, we're now shifting down and headed to the end of the stretch run here of the season. But while it's not necessarily a DFS thing or even much of a gambling thing, Ryder Cup is certainly an attention thing that's still on the horizon, too.
Absolutely. I mean, so I guess a couple of the other takeaways, Justin Thomas on Thursday shooting 82 and DJ shooting 81 on Friday. Like, that just was shocking.
I would agree. I mean, to see those numbers, but Justin Thomas, I mean, I just don't know that this is his tournament ever, right?
I don't know, because it's hard to say just because he's in a funk right now, but maybe he's just not an open player, which is weird because, you know, his good friends Ricky and Spieth love this tournament, or love the Open, so.
Yeah.
I don't think I have much else from it. Who was it, Matthew Jordan, who had the nice homecoming run, top 10.
My mom wanted to use him in the bar outing. Bar thing? No, I don't know that it would have mattered anyway, because one, Brian Harman was the D golfer to use in that bar pool.
Well, I had that one right. It was the other three I had some issues with.
I wouldn't let my mom use Matthew Jordan. I don't think it matters anyway, right? Because one, I don't think she had all four make the cut. And two, maybe she would have if she used Jordan. I don't know who she would have used. I don't know that she would have been able to beat a Brian Harman lineup to get in the money with Jordan in her lineup. But she wanted to use him. I was like, I don't think you should use him, Mom. And that is exactly why I should let her just circle the name she wants with zero input.
Yes.
She asked. I told her. What can I say? But yeah, that was cool. That was a cool story, too. I mean, we had the South African Giant in the lead in week, or in the first round, too. We certainly saw some interesting. Yeah, it's the Open. You know, we always kind of see some interesting guys and names because there's a lot of guys in the field that we're just simply not used to watching on a weekly basis.
Yes, Crystal Lemprecht, I think, nearly pulled a Keegan going from first round leader to missing the cut. And by the way, how about the reemergence of Sharma?
Yeah. Out of nowhere. I mean, do you want to talk about reemergence? I know it's a much shorter term, but what about Jason Day?
Yeah.
Hatless Jason Day at that.
And even Rahm making an appearance, like
8 under on Saturday. I looked at that in the morning when we were getting ready to tee off, and I went, is that real?
Yeah. Cam Young with another top open finish. I know he struggled a little bit on Sunday, but he was there in the mix again.
Yes, he was.
But just overall, just complete domination by Brian Harman. Like, it never felt, there wasn't a minute on Sunday where, like, oh, he's going to lose. Like, I kept waiting for, like, when he bogeyed the 5, I was like, okay, if he's even money, I am pounding this. He was minus 125, and then he buries the next hole, so I lost any chance at that.
There was a time, I think he was at 11, and maybe it was Straka was at 8, but Harman immediately birdied to get back to 12 and push that lead to 4. And then I guess Straka ended up getting back to 7, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it was another golfer at 8. I don't know at this point. Maybe it was Tommy at some point before he, but anyway, you're right. Brian Harman, definitely, kudos to him. And well, I enjoyed it, Skeeter. I'll certainly say that.
As well, you should.
Are you ready to take it to the 3M Open.
Oh, sure.
It's Twin Cities. We're going to Minnesota, Blaine, Minnesota. Par 71, 71,604 yards. Skeeter, there's going to be a lot of water here. It's Twin Cities, right? There's that's the land of 1,000 lakes.
10,000. What are we?
Land of 10,000. How dare I? I moved that decimal place one spot too few. What are we looking for? What is the 3M Open versus? Not versus what we just saw, but what is the 3M Open?
Well, I think there'll be a little more scoring, a little less wind. But yes, less fescue, less scores, no internal out of bounds, but lots and lots of water. But it's a much easier PGA National kind of thing.
I get you there a lot of ways. The par five finish, the water. Yeah, I get you.
And there's three par fives. They're all between 550 and 600. A variety of par fours. There's some short ones. There's some longer ones. Things like that. So, basically, I'm just kind of looking off the tee because I think you're going to have a little bit of accuracy. Distance doesn't hurt. Opportunities gained. Birdies are better. But I'm not looking at bogey avoidance. I'm looking at double avoidance because if you go into water, can you somehow find a way to make bogey? Like, you'll survive a bogey. Doubles or whatever will get you in trouble. And we've seen that sink a few golfers throughout the years. A lot of long irons in, so these are probably forced layups because of the water. So a lot of 150 to 175, 175 to 200, 200 plus is what I'm looking for. This is the second to last event before the PGA Tour playoff. So I think this is why we see, you know, like Justin Thomas in the field. I don't have the FedEx Cup standings in front of me. I think he needs to do something. Hideki, Sungjae, guys who just haven't won a ton. Ryan Fox, I know, is in it. There's mm-hmm. a Højgaard. So some of these internationals may be trying to come secure a card. But so not an overly great field, better than a John Deere Classic. But not quite as strong as the Rocket Mortgage.
Are we ready to get into the field?
Yes.
It's 10K plus. You get four choices. Cameron Young's 10-9. Tony Finau, 10-6. Sungjae M, 10-3. Hideki Matsuyama, 10K even. Skeeter, where are we going here?
I'm just going, maybe it's because I'm probably using him in one and done because I'm just running out of picks. But I'm just going to go with the long-term best player here, and that's Hideki. Obviously, putting is going to be a little bit of an issue for Hideki. It's probably right. I don't have putting ranked this week, so that's probably why he rates out fairly well in my model. But he was kind of hanging around the Open. He just hasn't put a ton together, but his irons continue to be well. I think overall he's still probably the long form, the best player in the field. Over 24 rounds, number one in approach, opportunities gained, and strokes gained par four. Good with the 175-plus distance. Hopefully he can make some putts this week. 10,000, I don't know why he's cheaper than Sungjae. Finau probably is only boosted because of the win last year and Cameron Young because of his Open performance, but I'll take the slight discount on Hideki.
I'm not going to tell you that I'm in love with anybody in this field, in the top tier here. I assume I'll get into 10K, but I don't know that I'm going to have anybody in more than one lineup. I suppose I'm with you on Hideki at the discount. If I had the money to get to him, Cameron Young has had two very good performances in a row because he was also T6 at your John Deere Classic. So he showed out well at the Open, where you didn't necessarily have to score incredibly well. He showed out well at the John Deere Classic in a very similar field to this, where you do have to go low. So it was two different types of tournaments that we've seen him play. Now, a little bit of travel because you're now going to be going back west to Minnesota. We assume the pro golfer gets over the jet lag. I'm kind of with you at Hideki, so I'll say he's my favorite. And I guess I'm already giving you my number two, Cameron Young.
Yeah, see, I don't have a two in this.
I might not either.
I mean, Finau's my fade. I realize he's the defending champ, but he's just still not in good enough form. And I realize, he does like these lesser tournaments, which I actually think is a very good strategy. Everybody else is playing the bigger tournaments. He's like, hey, you know what? Let me get my wins, my points by playing these, less than, optimal fields.
We're playing them this week, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, we're playing, so why not?
We're not playing Tony, but we're playing the lesser event just like he is this week. Absolutely. I'm with you.
Like, yeah, like, what would I rather do? Would I rather go beat my brains in at the, say, I'm trying to think, the Key Open of Valspar, or show up at Mexico and 3M, where I'm the second favorite? Like,
I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't blame him. But I'll tell you what, I'm with you too. He's my fate. I feel like we're kind of, so I'm kind of with you as well. As I may not have a number two, I may not have a favorite. I'll probably end up getting up here. But I'm not in love with the tens because I think there's some other players I'm interested in the nines and eights that we'll get to.
Yep.
And I'm with you, my fate. So shall we go to the nines?
Yep.
Emiliano Grillo, 97. Sepp Straka, 95. Ludwig Åberg, 94. Justin Thomas, 93. Gary Woodland, 92. Steven Yeager, 91. Cam Davis is 9K even. Skeeter, where are you going here?
Well, I'm going to use your argument you used for Cameron Young with somebody who beat him in both the John Deere and the Open, and that's Sepp Straka.
That's fair.
I believe he is. He switches caddies to Dwayne Bach, who was the caddy for Kiz. And I heard Kisner on the PGA Tour radio today, or basically I think it was Colton Oates. They just got done interviewing him. I caught the last minute or two, and they were basically saying how Kisner basically told Dwayne Bach, like, "Hey, look, if I know where I'm at right now in my career, it's probably not much more. If Straka says he wants you in his bag, do it." Like, and we kind of saw that Webb Simpson with Paul Tesori going to Cam Young, like. You know, I think that's very high class of Webb to do that. I think it's very high class of Kisner if that's the case. But I don't know, Bach and Straka apparently right now are figuring something out, because to win John Deere, to finish second at the Open, I mean, let's face it, if Harman doesn't go nuclear the first 2 days, Straka might be your Open champion.
I'm with you there. The only reason I can't kind of mimic you here in 9K is because Emiliano Grillo right above him at 9,700 is calling my name. Now, he didn't make the cut at the John Deere, but he was 6th at the Open, 15th at Travelers, so two of his last three outings were good. Oh, and by the way, two of the last times, three times he was here, a second and a third. Now, he missed the cut in 2021, so I think I'm willing to go all or nothing with Emiliano Grillo this week. And because I do like Straka, too, those two are kind of keeping me probably from even being interested in the 10Ks.
And that's fair, and I think this little price range from Hideki to Åberg is going to be very popular.
I mean, I would use Åberg as well this week.
Yes. Like there's a top performance coming from him soon. Like, he's third in my model over 24 rounds. Number one in that par 5 range, third off the tee, third opportunities gained. Like, he's, you know, the only hiccup is proximity from 150 to 175, but that's the lesser of the three ranges I'm looking at. So I have no problem going with the Europeans who are trying to make the Ryder Cup.
Skeeter, anybody else in the positive here?
No. I mean, some will make a case for Yeager. He's been in good form, but I don't know, the way Straka is playing in Åberg, and I don't think I get to Grillo, but I certainly understand it.
What about Cam Davis? He's played well here. This seems like it would be a good course for him, besides the fact that he's had two top 20s in the last 3 years here.
He's just kind of been all over the place. Like, after the PGA, he's only made two cuts in this past six tournaments. 17th at Rocket Mortgage, 33rd at Travelers, but four missed cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, stronger fields. I don't know. Not for me. I'd rather play Griot if I'm, you know, and there's actually somebody in the high eights I'd rather play than Cam Davis at nine.
Who are we fading?
For me, it's Gary Woodland. He ranks out really well, but when I look at his past finishes, 55th, 25th, 33rd, 49th, 24th, granted, there's two majors, two elevated events in the Scottish, so it's better fields, but, you know, I at least want to see something going on with him, and I just don't really see it. I think I know who your fate is, or I assume I know who your fate is, which I get. Like, no way in heck would I ever bet him, but, you know, I think I'd play JT before I'd play Woodland.
Woodland finished 11th here as one time out. So we have a short course history with this being the fifth event, the fifth time the event's been held. Woodland's been here once. He finished 11th. I think he's my fade, too. I don't think I'm using Woodland or Justin Thomas.
No.
But I look at that, and I look exactly what you said. Like, gosh, Woodland's just not really doing anything special. But if he finished 11th here, it wouldn't be unbelievable, and I'd probably be okay with it.
Right. I guess it's just – okay, do you think Woodland – all right, who do you think does better, Woodland or Davis?
Davis.
Woodland or Åberg?
I think I should recant what I said. Davis does better than Woodland. I would say the same thing about Åberg here. I think they have better chance of a top 10 than Woodland. Woodland maybe has a better chance to make cut based on his like consistent mediocrity, but those guys have a better chance, I think, to maybe spike your lineup.
And in the nines, you don't necessarily – I mean, yes, you want them to make the cut, but you need some top 10 equity. You need some winning equity, and I think Åberg and Cam Davis certainly have a little more – or Cam Davis has a little more volatility in that regard. Like, if you're playing some make-the-cut contest, yes, it's Woodland or Davis, but – if you're looking for top 10, I think it would be Adam. I think it would be Cam Davis. And it's probably Åberg is the answer in Straka. But that's just my opinion.
I'm with you. Are we ready to go to those 8Ks?
Yep.
Adam Hadwin's 89. JJ Spahn, 88. Scythe the Gala's 87. Keith Mitchell, 86. Patrick Rogers, 85. JT Poston, 84. Mark Hubbard, 83. Lucas Glover is 82. Vincent Norman's 81. Bo Hostler, 8K. Skeeter, you got plenty of choices. Who do you like?
Well, I'll go to your course history here. Adam Hadwin has two top tens and three made cuts in his three appearances here. Been playing okay. Ninth in approach. He's not great off the tee, but I'm assuming that's probably distance. I don't think he's a bad accuracy player. Good par four player. The proximities, okay. 8,900 does feel a little high for Hadwin, but with a decent course history, this does kind of feel like one he could do okay at.
Every year I would go fishing in Canada. Do you know what the last state in the United States I would be in before I crossed the border?
Well, there's a few choices. Minnesota?
More often than not, yes, it was Minnesota. Okay. It's incredibly similar landscape to southern Canada, too. So I'm sure Adam Hadwin feels quite at home here.
Yeah, and a little preview, he's not the only Canadian I like this week.
Well, you know what? That's okay. I don't mind some Canadian love either. Skeeter, I think I'm kind of with you on Hadwin. I'm going to be using Scythe the Gala here, though. He's not playing great. This seems like a really good course fit. I go back to the year Bryson, Matt Wolf, use that distance. I think about Tony Finau, distance off the tee. He's not playing good right now, but this feels like Scythe the Gala's course.
All right, I want to look at something here real quick if I can find it on the Gala. Because he's not rating well off the tee. So
I'm sure he's not right now. I mean, he's just not playing good right now. He's got two missed cuts here, too.
Yeah, over the last 50 rounds, 132nd fairways gained. That's going to be an issue here where there's a bunch of water.
Yes, it will be.
So I think that's my main reason I'm not on him.
Am I wrong to think that this course fits him maybe in a good year, though?
No, I mean, where's his best finish has been?
What do you have, Waste Management? He was really good. Didn't he finish really decent at Riviera? I'm just guessing these.
Let's see. Heritage? The Masters? Don't remember that. Genesis Farmers, RSM, Zozo, Fortinet. These are the top tens. Travelers. So he's got some TPC courses in there. Phoenix. Okay. I think his lack of accuracy is an issue, but
yeah,
he always has upside.
I feel like it fits, and I'm just like, maybe this is I'm going to use him and get a discount of ownership this week.
All right. My other play, and I have a feeling you're not going to like this one because, I mean, if Justin Rose is the vampire, I think his apprentice in your world is Lucas Glover.
They're both U.S. Open champions.
They are. But Lucas Glover ranks number one on my model. He's got three straight top tens. Or did he play Barracuda last week? Because I do not have those stats.
It doesn't have him listed there. Has him at Barbasol as his last event, a fifth.
Okay, so he made a run at John Deere, so he's top 10. Or he was
sixth at the deer,
fourth at Rocket Mortgage. Like, his irons are just absolutely on fire. His putter actually hasn't been bad, like, by Lucas Glover standards. He gained 5.5 at the Rocket Mortgage, 3.5 at Deer. He lost under a stroke at Barbasol, which for him is just fine. Like, he's an accurate hitter. He's number one in fairways over the past 50 rounds. He's number three in approach, number one in opportunities gained, eighth in proximity from 200+, and he's above the average in every category. Double avoidance, he's 71st, so that's not overly great, but 8,200, I'm just going to keep riding the form of Lucas Glover.
I can get involved there. He had a seventh here a little while back. What about your boy, JT Poston?
I don't think I'll get there, but he has shown a little bit. Back-to-back top tens, the Deer and Scottish, and did make a cut at the Open.
11th and 28th the last 2 years here.
All right, you know what? I'll put a star by him. I'm glad because I'm like, I don't have many people I'm liking here, so I'm glad that you're finding some of these guys.
Well, you know, I'm hoping I'm finding them. I'm not sure if there's another 8K player that I'm like super duper into.
No.
There's a few that I could convince myself of, though. Whether or not I will, we'll see, I guess.
Well, I have a fade.
Who are you fading?
Patrick Rogers.
Is that because you never get Patrick Rogers right?
Well, that's part of it. But apparently, full disclosure, I watched none of the Barracuda. Just blew it. Like, I think he was the 36-hole leader or was something up there and just did not do much. And down the stretch just was pushing putts and nothing and just kind of cost himself to Bhatia on that one. But coming off that, you know, losing in a playoff and probably in some ways felt like you blew it. Not exactly. I'm not real interested going right back to him then.
I can get with you on that. I'll probably fade Keith Mitchell. Just not doing a whole lot. T42 at the John Deere. That's the last made cut for my man. Now, he was 20th at the U.S. Open. It's hard to argue with that. Other than that, he hasn't been inside the top 40 since the Players. So I'll fade Keith Mitchell. Skeeter, 7K gets a little interesting this week.
It does.
But there are some names that I'm still interested in. I'm interested to see who interests you.
Yeah, I did hit. I mean, I don't have a ranking or anything here, but this top of the 7K I have some interest in. And we'll start with my guy Aaron Rye, who missed at the Scottish. I think he missed right on the number, but prior to that, 9th at Rocket Mortgage, 24th at Travelers, 3rd at Canada. Like, his irons has been good, off the tee's been fine, everything else about his game has been good. Number one proximity from 150 to 175, top five par fours, par fives, and approach. So he hits all the categories I want, always has upside. 7,900, I think that's a good number in this field.
What about Ryan Fox? I know you're interested in him on the occasion. 7,600, he continues to make cuts.
He does. I mean, maybe in this field I should. I just he runs that lack of upside. That's, you know, I'd like to see
a top
10 out of him
at
some point.
I get you there. Cameron Champ, he's won this event before. Is his pseudo resurgence anything for you?
Yeah, I he's one I don't know if I'll get to because I don't know how many lineups I'm playing. But if I was playing. If I was playing five, he'd be in consideration. So if I play five, he'll be there. If I'm playing 10 or more, he's definitely in there. I could see this being a one or three lineup for me this week. I don't know if he makes that pool for me.
It's probably a three lineup week for me, but if I get more than that, sometimes when they duplicate the three-entry max $8 mulligan, that's the one I like to get into, I'll double up there. I find a $10, but we'll see. Skeeter, Austin Eckroat, doing anything for you?
No, I mean, he's going to rate out really well statistically, but feels like his little run might be over. He missed at Rocket Mortgage, 65th at Genesis, like the Scottish. So just, this kind of has a telltale sign of nice run, but it's kind of fading.
And as a young guy, this season might be wearing on him because it's a long season.
Could be.
That's kind of one thing I went. All right, any other names you got? I mean, there's a couple more I could peek at.
Well, I mentioned that there was going to be another Canadian I like. I'll go back to the top of the board, Taylor Pendrith.
Right.
14th at Rocket Mortgage, 6th at Barbasol. I mean, irons have been there, off the tee's been there. Putter, yeah, around the green's been neutral. Putter's been okay, depends on the tournament, but he's starting to flash a little form, so in this field, sure. I mean, I don't know last time I played Eric Cole, but he just keeps doing everything right. He's probably off the tee, not great, but I'm assuming that's probably distance-related. He'll make some doubles, but he's also number one. Birdies are better. Good proximity for 200+. Good opportunities gained. Like, I'll take a look at that.
He's on my radar.
I mean, at some point, you know, I know Aberg's getting all the attention for the college guy, but as well he should. But Peter Quest has been playing well too. Missed on a number at Barbasol, but prior to that, 17th at Deer, 4th at Rocket Mortgage, made a cut in Canada, and 14th at Byron Nelson. Like, I think, you know, you got to take a look at him at some point.
Skeeter, what about Doug Gim, 7,400, I believe, and Garrett Kigo at 7,400?
Gim rates out well, but he's had some good finishes. He rates out better in the longer term than shorter term. Irons are there.
Two top 20s in the last 3 years here.
Yeah, I mean, he's on my list. I had him start. He's 4th in my model, 3rd in par 4s, 8th in that proximity 150 to 175. Good off the tee approach opportunities, birdies numbers. So I can see myself getting there. You mentioned Higo.
Mm-hmm.
What has he been doing?
He's coming back into form. He's had a good month plus.
What's weird, too, is he has not... The last time he gained strokes approach was the Valspar.
Hmm. Wow.
And it's not like he's, you know, having a hot putter, too. He's just killing it off the tee. So I don't know where... I don't know how he's pulling this off. So not for me just because of that reason, but if he finds his irons, might be hanging around on Sunday.
What else you got for me in the 7Ks?
Chez Reavie. I mean, anytime there's an accuracy course, and he's been playing a little better the past couple of months, rates out very well, and birdies, double avoidance, opportunities, approach, proximities. So I think Chez is in play for me. And then down at 7,100, I think it's Kevin Yu, who's kind of been a little hit or miss. I think he was 7th at Pebble and then must have got hurt or something, because he came back at the Travelers, 49th, missed at Rocket Mortgage, 6th at John Deere. Granted, that was 8 strokes putting gain, and missed it at the Scottish. So I don't know where I'm at on him, but he at least intrigues me. Off the tee is good. Some of those birdie opportunities, birdies are better good. Last one I'll just mention, Kevin Streelman, 7K. Again, he's not going to rate off the tee well. That's probably distance-wise. Good approach. Good at avoiding bogeys. Good par 4 player. He's been playing a little bit better the past couple of months as well.
7,100 as well, MJ Duffy. I guess I'm just getting all South African on you right now. What do you think of him? He's been playing some good golf lately.
4 straight made cuts, finally gained on approach at the Barbasol. Good off the tee. Putter's been hot. Not the profile of somebody I like to choose.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. There's another guy I want to take a look at, 7K. Go ahead. You might be mentioning him.
Stuart Sink?
Yeah, that's who I'm looking at. Haven't been doing much. Did pop up at the Open.
Had a good Champions Tour event, and then 23rd at the Open.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get there, but I took a look. Ryan Palmer keeps rating out well, but I swear he rates out well every week. And just a missed cut or like 33rd, had an 8th at the Byron Nelson, but just not. Rates out well, just the putter has just been horrific for him.
Yeah, I'm a Ryan Palmer guy, and I'm not going there, so that's interesting. Skeeter, I think I gave you everything I've got to give in 7K. There's some names I like, but not necessarily this week.
Yeah, I mean, my guy Justin Suh, I think his little streak is over. Bhatia did withdraw. He would have...
Not surprising.
No. I mean, he's like, you know what, I'll take a week off to celebrate.
Yeah, as a young man should in this event.
Yeah, Luke List also withdraw. He would have rated well, too.
He fits the profile of boomer bust, but I'd be interested in him.
Callum Tarran's another boom bust. Rates out decently well, but I don't think his recent form...
It's been bad lately, yeah. I was looking at him, Wallace, some of the other guys in that area, Mac Hughes, and I can't get to any of them. Stu Sink is the one who turned me on there.
Where did Wallace pop recently? Oh,
he won an event a month or so ago.
No, he Didn't won Punta Cana back in March. But
a month or so ago. How about March, dude?
I think it was a Scottish. I think he was maybe had a good first round or something. But
just maybe, yeah. Because I did feel like he was, I don't know. Who knows? Skeeter, anything positive in the 7Ks?
No.
Remaining? Who we fading?
Billy Horschel.
Oh, you dog. That's who I'm fading to.
By Matt Kuchar.
That's fair. I was definitely looking at Billy Horschel at the bottom of that pricing, and I'm like, boy, I couldn't even consider that one at 7,100.
No.
What are we doing in 6K? I have at least one name that I've mentioned before besides Charlie Hoffman.
Okay. I was going to say, is it Charlie? Go ahead, because I have one guy starred, and I'm not overly convinced I'm going to play.
So I'm a fan of Michael Kim. Doesn't mean that I'm getting there after a bunch of missed cuts. I think the guy that's interesting me is Tano Goya. Where's he at? 7,600?
6,700?
Yeah, I'm sorry. 6,500. Again, dude, I mean, it's not like it's great, but he made the cut the last couple. He's made the cut every time since Rocket Mortgage. So 55th at Barracuda, 40th at Barbasol, 26th at the John Deere. Those are his last three outings. He had a hot little run in like the March-April stretch too. I don't know if I get there because I don't know that I'm going to try and stuff Cam Young and Hideki into the same lineup. But if I do at 6,500, I could get worse than Tano Goya.
It makes sense. This is where you don't mind make cuts. You'd like to see a little bit of top 30 upside, but no, I get you. I mean, that's kind of the reason, you know, my cheapie 6,600 Russell Knox.
There's a lot of 6K guys that I used to like be on.
Oh God.
Over the, you know what I mean? I was like, man, this 6K is really a collection of golfers that have popped and been in the 7 or 8Ks in other tournaments of years past. Like there's a ton of names and I keep clicking on all of them. I'm like, eh.
Sam Ryder, your guy, Adam Long, who, by the way, has a good history here. Actually, hold on. There might be a second guy. What's he been doing? All right, you know what? We've been playing him all summer, and I realize he missed a cut in the John Deere. In fact, I think I played him in the John Deere. He was terrible. But other than that, his only other missed cut was U.S. Open, kind of in the recent past few months. Carson Young at 6,800.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he at least has shown some ability to make cuts and throw in a top 30 every now and then, so I'll include him.
The Herminator, Charlie Hoffman. Those are probably more likely $5 bets than they are three consideration in a three lineup week.
I mean, I want to play Lipsky, but he had that nice little stretch at Schwab Memorial, but hasn't done anything since.
Man, his Memorial was bad Sunday, and I'm telling you, he was out of there after that.
I mean, Sam Ryder is one of those guys we were playing earlier on in the year. My guy from a couple of years ago, EVR, he's not doing anything. Doesn't Scott Piercy have a good history here? But he's another one that's all over the place.
What about Bryce Garnett? He actually has a pretty good history here, if I'm not mistaken.
65. What has he been doing recently?
Nah, nothing good if you're priced there. But he's made the cut here. 31, 16, 26, 23. Those are his four times here.
Beat the Punta Cana. Yeah, not doing much, but making cuts. So, again, at this price range, I don't think I'm getting down here, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, if I decide I have to get, you know, Grillo and Aberg and Straka in the same lineup, maybe Bryce Garnett or Tano Goya is how I do it.
I mean, Smotherman, I mean, he's missed. I mean, two of the three missed cuts he's had recently, you've been on the number, it looks like, so.
Under par missed cuts are never the worst thing in the world.
No, he's just not, I mean, he's just not doing much, but that'd be another, he's just a guy that you look at. Another one of your guys, let's see, Harry Higgs is in the field.
He had the Canadian Open and that's it, right?
Well, he made the cut at Rocket Mortgage and John Deere missed at Barbasol, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at this price, I would take those T50 somethings at 6,400.
Yeah,
but I'm probably not on Higgs this week.
One other name, if you really want to dig down, if I get the stats to load, because he somehow, I don't know why, but he rates out pretty well in the last 4 and 8 rounds for me as I cannot get my thing to load. Jason Duffner, 31st of the deer, 24th at Barbasol. I am not going near this, but there's a case to be made if you want to go Duffner at 6,300 just to get a made cut.
I don't know if I get there either, but it is there for the taking. Skeeter, who are you fading in 6K?
I don't remember the last time I saw Chad Collins in a field, so we will just go with him.
Dang, I thought it was going to be CT Pan.
Where's he at?
He's at 6,900.
CT Pan. What's he been like? Oh, that's right. He was like chalk at Travelers, and I was like, I'm not playing chalk CT Pan. That worked out great for me. He in two rounds, he lost 6.5 strokes around the green. That's not good.
Skeeter, I will fade Marty Laird.
Yeah, another guy. Oh, you're just fading because you're still mad when he won the playoff over Matthew Wolff at Vegas a couple years ago.
And this is an event Matthew Wolff won. Could there possibly be a Martin Laird correlation? Could I have picked a guy to fade that all of a sudden I'm thinking,
Didn't Bryson win Vegas as well? And he lost. You know,
yes, that's why Wolff. I was all over Wolff because that was the Bryson Wolff correlation year. Bryson won the U.S. Open maybe the week before and was not in the Vegas event. And I mean, it was like the first time I actually bet a favorite heavy. And I had a double on Wolff. I was all over Wolff that week. Yeah.
Sungjae was 7th at the Shriners last season.
I'm still fading Marty Laird. I don't care about his T20 at Barracuda.
Okay.
Skeeter, anything further from the DraftKings side of things?
Nope.
Well, it's a few weeks left in the good old one and done. What is there to do this week? A lot of people probably at this point only have one or two choices out of the top, 10 in the field. Is there anything outside of the top 10 to go to?
I think Cam Young will be very popular. Sungjae might.
Cam Young has 43% availability. Yeah. Sungjae 29, Hideki 46.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. But my thing is, I don't think people will use Finau. Maybe they will. The two I'm going to be really there's three potential. I'm really interested to see their ownership or usage. Griot, which I think he'll be the lowest of the three I'm about to mention. But what do people do with Strock and Åberg?
Because Åberg. Dude. Those? And they're available to almost everyone.
Yes.
I imagine that those three players will garner 40% of ownership between the three of them.
Because, I mean, before looking at this, my debate is Hideki versus Straka. But I think this might just be one of those, keep it simple and just go with the best player here, and that's still Hideki.
I would imagine. I don't know what people will be looking to do with ownership, because it's not like Hideki's won this tournament. And it's not like he screams, that Matt Wolff, Bryson, Tony Finau type of player. He's very accurate, right? But he's not quite as long as those guys. Like, Hideki might not get the ownership. People might save him, figuring that he'll at least, who knows what people have left for the playoffs.
I mean, I'm using Rahm at the last one, but I still have Burns. I have Wyndham Clark, who I think is going to have to get used.
I would think so at this point.
I'm trying to think. There's some others I still have. I mean, if Thomas shows any form, I have him down the stretch.
That's a nice little bullet to have that you don't necessarily have to use.
Right. I still have a couple of names to use, but the Rahm being the big one. So this is one I'm just like, let me just use Hideki. And I'm in 169th place, so I did drop a few spots, but nothing significant. So, I think I'm just going to go Hideki, and we'll kind of see what happens from there. By the way, I did bet, the only bet I made was Straka this morning at 35-1. And he currently, at least on DraftKings, if I can get my phone has been slow recently, so I probably should look at that. He's down to 25-1, so at least I feel like I got some closing line value on that.
I like that, actually. As you pointed out, dude, he's been on fire here recently, and this field is not the field he just basically outplayed.
Okay, who would you rather bet at 45-1, Thigala or Lucas Glover?
Thigala.
Okay.
That doesn't make it the right answer. I hate Lucas Glover.
I know.
And as I already said, I think this is a course that I could see Thigala. I mean, I could see him having that Cam Champ year, that Tony Finau year, and winning this thing. I just see his game equating to their games more than I would say Lucas Glover, although Lucas Glover, maybe I'd discredit Lucas Glover because of our relationship.
You know what? I'm making a bet at 90-1 right now, Peter Quest.
Well, I hope I just couldn't come up with a good Tribe Called Quest thing. We're gonna have to work on that one. That was a band from the 90s.
Quest?
A Tribe Called Quest.
I don't think I know that one.
We have jumped the shark and gotten to music, but oh my God, you really have never heard of a Tribe Called Quest? It's okay. I think that's the difference in our age, Skeeter, because you were probably in your infancy when they were big while I was watching MTV. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm looking them up. Yeah, I do not know them.
Well, if your Peter Quest bet hits, then you're going to have to listen to them.
Okay.
I think that's the culmination of this.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Skeeter, you have anything else for the 3M?
I do not.
I can say that my schedule right now looks like I should be able to sit on the couch and watch golf all weekend. I am looking forward to this tournament so much because it might be one of the last ones I get to just chill out and watch before, until we get to the Ryder Cup. So I'm hoping to take full advantage of the 3M. Hopefully my lineups do the same thing.
Yeah, I will not get to watch much. I'm going to the National Sports Card Show up in Chicago, so...
We'll have fun.
I will. I mean, don't worry, I'll be following my phone because Shot Tracker is a necessary evil for me. But yes, I don't know how much I'll get to watch, but you better believe if on Sunday I'm up there, I'm making the guy I'm going with, he's going to have to listen to PGA Tour radio, so.
It's pretty good radio, quite frankly.
It is. That's,
I made Klaskins listen to it with me before. He bought into it. Now, he's a degenerate like us, so he understood. But he listened to some match play with me before once.
Oh, nice.
Something else. I forget what, but I've made him listen to golf. He thought I was kidding at first when I said to turn that channel on. I go, no, it's a real channel. Turn it on.
Come on. You should know better than that.
This was a while ago. This was probably before he was doing PGA channel reads.
Oh, okay.
I mean, now he's doing the reads. He knows that. But no, it was pretty funny. But
I'm surprised he doesn't have you do the PGA Tour reads.
He's asked me if I wanted to before. I'm like, go ahead. It's your thing. I'll do it when you're not around.
So next weekend then.
I should have done it this week and embellished it with some Brian Harmon chatter, but I did not. I was afraid to even tell people I bet him because I didn't want to curse it.
That's fair.
All right, Skeeter. Good luck to you this week.
Yep. Same to you.
I appreciate you. Appreciate everybody for listening. Good luck to all of y'all. This is James Adams for Skeeter Robinson, and this has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.